Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sports.fm 90 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, and exciting finish at Scotiabank Arena as the Raptors finally get a result at home. Obviously, that has been very difficult for the Raptors, and this game, even though Giannis did not play, was still very difficult, but the Raptors come through, winning by a score of 97-93. What am I going to say? First off, story of the game is Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet, as he has done in at least half, if not more than half, of the Raptors' wins this season, just a sensational performance when you needed him most, had the answers every single time against what the Bucks were doing. And the Bucks were very tough. You know, this is a championship team, you know, and even without Giannis, obviously they still have some pretty decent players. And, you know, they made it really tough. Although I got to say, the Raptors' defense was also really sharp. I think this is the best defensive performance we've seen from the Raptors in a while. I thought their physicality was very strong. I thought, you know, they did a really good job of collapsing in the lane. And obviously, Middleton is a problem in terms of his jump shooting. And Drew Holiday is just so strong going downhill. So, you know, those are the main things that you want to take away. And the Raptors did a pretty good job of that. They put length on Middleton at first. I didn't think, I didn't think that Middleton was as assertive as he needed to be, especially with Giannis out. He kind of turned it on more late. And then Drew Holiday was the main engine of what the Bucks were doing. And Drew was able to get into the paint in the sense that he was able to, like, he's just so strong and he's bigger than Fred. He's able to push him under the basket. And draw a second defender, and, you know, that downward pressure towards the basket, you know, that freed up, you know, cutters from the Bucks to you know, flash inside and make a couple of plays. But for the most part, the Raptors defensively were really strong tonight. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, 93 points for the Bucks, 37% shooting from the field for them. You know, really what the Bucks were sustained by was free throws. And that's where I really have to get off my chest right now, because the game just ended and my heart is pumping. Because what did we just see from that referee crew? And I'll just tell you a couple of numbers, okay? 21-7. The foul disparity at one point in this game in the fourth quarter was 21-7. And I understand that that's not the whole game. The Raptors won. That's much more important to me. But just please, after watching this game and seeing how that ending went, allow me the 2 minutes here to just talk about the foul disparity. 21-7 in foul calls. Pascal Siakam fouls out of this game. Precious with Precious with 3 fouls. Fred with 4 fouls. Scotty with 5 fouls. You know, and you know what? I could live with 21-7 midway through the third quarter, or midway through the fourth quarter. I could live with it if they didn't call some of the fouls at the very end there. Okay? The Bucks are down how many points? 5 points? The Bucks are down 5 points. Chris Middleton pump fakes. Precious Achiuwa jumps. Now, Middleton sidesteps. And he leans into Precious shooting the jumper. I'm sorry, but did we not just see a whole entire offseason of all this talk about, hey, let's make sure we no longer call these. Everybody hates this call. The James Harden move, the Trae Young move, the Chris Paul move. Let's just take that out of the game because it's not basketball. But you know what these referees decided tonight? And that play where Middleton is clearly just baiting for the foul call, let's give him the free throws. Let's just give them the free throws. Why not? It's more exciting that way. You know, just give the Bucks a chance here. They're down 5. Shot clock's turned off. Let's just give Middleton the free throws. So they give Middleton the 3 free throws, okay? Garbage call. Middleton, being, I imagine, like a 90% free throw shooter, misses the 3rd free throw. Maybe out of a guilty conscience. I don't know. Rebound squirts out. And Bobby Portis and Precious Achiuwa, as you can imagine, during a late free throw, have each other wrapped up. Like, Precious has 2 hands on Portis. Portis has 2 hands on Precious. Have you ever seen a basketball game at any level? Because at the end of the game, when there's key free throws, that's what happens to the free throw line. It gets a little more physical. But guess what the referees call in this situation? They call two free throws for Bobby Portis on a loose ball foul after the Raptors had won that possession with Fred, of all people, catching the loose ball. So it would have been fouling Fred, who's like a 100% free throw shooter in the clutch. Instead of that, they give the Bucks more free throws. So out of a play where they do nothing but bait for free throws, they get five free throws out of it in the last like possession of the game. That's inexcusable. That is inexcusable. Now, Bobby Portis misses the second free throw. Precious Achiuwa gets fouled. He goes to the line. He goes 0 for 2. I'm not surprised. Precious is classic 1 for 2 kind of free throw shooter. Missed the first one. Second one, a little nervous. Fred came over to tap him on the chest like, you got this, man. But then Precious missed the second one. Luckily, Scotty Barnes has a 7'3" wingspan and the hands of Kawhi Leonard, not even a joke, and he jumps up and tips out the rebound. Surprised, you know, oh, the Bucks didn't get another loose ball foul on that play. But he tips it out to Fred, and now the game is over. But the referees call one more foul, even though there's 0.7 seconds left. The Raptors are up two, and Fred is literally just running away from the play. A phantom swipe, Fred goes to the free throw line. Even though the game should have just ended. So finally, the Raptors get some free throws. I didn't even want those free throws. The Raptors didn't even want those free throws. Just end the game. Fred goes to the line, makes two. Raptors up four. Bucks and lose the game. Raptors win 97-93. But I just have to say, that refereeing performance at the very end there was some of the worst performance. Like, it's not just the foul disparity that was 21-7 at one point, ended up as 24-12, and that's with some intentional fouls by the Bucks, two intentional fouls by the Bucks, so really should be 24-10. Not only just the foul disparity, but the specific calls. Have you ever seen a team gifted five free throws in the last possession of the game for doing nothing? That was disgusting. And Pat Freer, Curtis Blair, Cheryl Flores, shambolic performance by the referees tonight. But the Raptors were able to come through, and it didn't ruin the night, although it did make the ending just so much more frustrating. But the Raptors did earn a very satisfying win. I understand that Giannis didn't play second half of back-to-back. Giannis just had 40 with the game winner against Charlotte. Comes in, warmed up apparently, but somehow was not available to play the game. I did not mind. Obviously, the Raptors need every win possible. And when you take Giannis out of the lineup, you know, that's obviously going to impact a lot of things for the Bucks on both ends of the floor, especially for the fact that they don't really have Brooke Lopez either available. So that really hurts their front court. Having said that, though, it's not like the Bucks have not been successful without Giannis in the past. Trust me, the Bucks are a team that is very, very smart in what they do. They're very clever. Obviously, they never foul ever. So, you know, they're able to still execute, and they did a good job with that, but the Raptors were able to adapt to it. I think the late sub, you know, obviously affected the Raptors in terms of, okay, now we have to quickly come together with the plan. Luckily, I think Jrue Holiday being such a dominant part of the offense, operating so much in the middle of the floor as the downhill pressure, like, I think the Raptors kind of just took their game plan approach towards Giannis and put a sort of applied it towards Jrue. You know, and Jrue started a great game, honestly. It was such a fun point guard battle between Jrue Holiday and Fred VanVleet. That was just like, I mean, two really physical players. Jrue bigger, but Fred a better shooter. And just seeing them go back and forth when was honestly such a treat to watch. But Fred, I run out of words to say about this man. I can't believe there's anybody who doubts Fred. Not in the sense that there's nothing to nitpick about him, but just like in terms of what he does for this team and how important he is to this team. 26 points in the second half. 26, including 14 in the third quarter and 12 in the fourth quarter. And Fred had to play 39 minutes, classic. That's actually less than his average, I guess. But, you know, it's just he was so important in the sense that every single time the Bucks did something, Fred was able to come out and set the Raptors back on the right path. You know, the Bucks had a really bad second quarter, offensively only 17 points. The Raptors had the lead at halftime. But coming out of that halftime, the Bucks got a couple of plays at the rim. You know, Raptors aren't as locked in. I'm disappointed. Everyone should be disappointed. Don't give up these games. Be serious, right? The Raptors still have a lead, but then it gets to that point every single game at the start of the fourth quarter and even at the end of the third quarter where it's Pascal plus bench. Now, the issue with Pascal plus bench is that Pascal can really operate, and he's very effective, but he needs shooters around him, right? We saw over the course of this game, Pascal was very good in terms of his offense. But where he's really good is when he's attacking the middle and he's attacking his one-on-one matchup, and if help comes over, he's able to kick it out. And he's especially, it's especially important for Pascal to have the two shooters on the two wings, because Pascal's going to attack in the middle, right, the free throw line area. And if help comes from either direction, he's very good at kicking it out. And he did a good job of feeding guys like Scotty for three, guys like Svi, you know, whatever, right? The issue is, when it's Pascal plus bench, it's really just Pascal and Svi as a two-man game and nothing else, right? So first off, it's iso ball every single time down. Second of all, it really comes down to the Svi knockdown shots. And Svi was really, really not clutch tonight in terms of the shots the Raptors needed. They did not go in. This was a Patrick Patterson-esque performance in terms of what Svi was doing from the three-point line. A couple of plays where Pascal was able to set him up wide open for three. Svi missed those. And then the third time Svi got open, could have sidestepped after he pump-faked the defender. Defender was going out of control. Shut the defender. But instead of then sidestepping to take the open three, which is exactly what he should be doing, he swung it over to Pascal, and Pascal missed the jumper. So the Raptors went from having a 10-point lead early in the fourth to the Bucks making two threes. It's a four-point game. It gets really nervy. Nick has to get Fred back into the game. Fred only got 3 minutes of rest in the second half. Okay, he checked out, 55 seconds left in the third quarter. You know, just buy him a couple of, you know, literally a couple of seconds. And then, 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. And you know what? By that point, the Raptors already are starting to blow the lead. So you bring Fred in. And what does Fred do immediately after the Bucks cut it down to a one possession game? Fred checks in, works the baseline, a screen-to-screener play, and he pops out for three in the corner. He did that two or three times tonight. Fred off the ball, really effective player. He is such a dangerous shooter. Obviously, he's learned how to play off ball with the years that he's played with Kyle. So he's effective on and off the ball. But tonight, because he had Jrue Holiday on him, a really tough defender, there was a lot of Scotty handling up top, a lot of Pascal handling up top, and even Delano. And Fred working, you know, off ball and getting free. So he gets pops three for a three. The Raptors push it to a two possession lead. Next trip down, Fred has Jrue Holiday, and he's, you know, Fred is in the post trying to catch it there. Drew's trying to deny him the ball. Fred very smartly spins back door for the cutback door. I forget who fed him with the pass, but a really nice pass. Fred's able to get to the layup. That's a three possession game. Then Fred steals the ball on Jrue Holiday's drive. Jrue Holiday's very strong. He's allowed to use his off arm, no problem. Keep the defender at bay. Fred's able to force him into a crowd first off, just steering him towards help. And then when that crowd comes, pokes the ball free, gets the ball loose, runs the break, hits ahead to Pascal for a layup. And the Raptors go up back up 10. The Bucks have to call timeout. And then immediately afterwards, the Bucks, you know, score after that timeout. But Fred VanVleet, with a show-and-go layup where he drove it downhill against George Hill, switched hands midair to go from the right hand to the left hand so he could sneak it in underneath the shot blocker for the slow scoop layup. Just sensational. And then even after that, in the fourth quarter, man, driving into the paint, draws three defenders. He finds Yuta open in the corner. Nice little bounce pass. Yuta knocks down the corner three. That was a huge play. Another play where he's driving downhill. There's a double team on him. He splits the double team with a spin move and then stretches in for a scoop layup like he's Pascal Siakam. Like, I've never seen Fred do that move before. That was nice. And then just a number of key plays down the stretch there, culminating with him knocking the two free throws. Fred was so, so important. And Fred, I mean, every single time the Raptors have won this season, Fred has been a huge part of that. And a lot of these games, it's been Fred just in the fourth quarter, him alone. The Orlando game, that was Fred. The Indiana win, that was Fred, the first one. The Memphis game, that was Fred in the fourth quarter. Like, it's just like, he is, you know, the guy for the Raptors. We had this whole conversation in the offseason. Pascal would be like, you know, am I the guy? Kyle was the guy. Whoever was the guy. I don't know. Let's, you know, who was the guy? Fred's the guy. Fred is him, quote unquote. So great performance, but honestly, just a great performance by the team. You know, I think Precious Achiuwa deserves a lot of credit here in terms of the timely plays he made. Yes, he missed those two free throws, but some key offensive rebounds down the stretch there where the Raptors offensively couldn't really get a lot going, but Precious was able to bat it back out and contribute that way with a key block in chase down a scenario where I thought this was a mistake personally by Pascal, but they hit it ahead to Pascal, which is good because you don't want to be trapped in the backcourt with the minute left. But like, it's like 40 seconds left. Pascal, with the full shot clock, decides to try to attack Pat Connaughton, which is not a bad idea in the vacuum. And he did initially get the foul call, although the Bucks reviewed it. And it turns out Pascal used his elbow to hit Pat on this drive. So it was overturned and instead Pascal got a six. But in that situation, it's more valuable to hold for the entire shot clock and burn 24 seconds out of like 44 seconds in the game clock than it is to go up two or for another 2 points and to extend the lead from six to eight. There obviously is value in pushing it from a two possession game to a three possession game, but I think with that much time left, it's more valuable. Literally, if he just held the ball and got called for a 24-second violation, that would have been more valuable than what he did. But on the ensuing play, the Bucks are able to get downhill, and it was Precious Achiuwa who came up with a huge chase down block against Jrue Holiday. And Precious's defense was really solid today. Obviously, the Bucks didn't have a lot of shooting in their front court. Bobby made 1-3, 10 free throws for Bobby Portis. Great. Obviously, you always got to give Bobby Portis 10 free throws, man. I don't think a Raptor has shot 10 free throws this year, but Bobby Portis gets 10 free throws from this crew. I love it. Yeah, I mean, you know, between him and Mamushkevili, you know, it was not a lot of defensive duties for Precious. So he actually had to engage more as a help defender. And I thought that he did a good job of just closing in on Jrue Holiday at the basket. And it was just a good defensive performance from everybody, though. I mean, I think Scotty was big in that stretch. Pascal was big in that stretch. A number of verticality plays, even when he had five fouls on him earlier in the fourth quarter, that were really important. And yeah, and the Raptors even got something off the bench. You know, Utah comes off the bench 10 minutes. I'm not sure why he didn't play more, but, you know, bangs in two corner threes. That was his two shots of the game. Delano with a couple of nice, you know, just his energy was high, got in for little putbacks. And Boucher, I mean, he had some positive plays in the fourth quarter. We are taking phone calls. For the first time in a while, actually. So you can call in at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Once again, that's 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Love opening the phone lines after wins. I want to hear that enthusiasm from the fans and just hear what your thoughts are on the game. And if you're unable to call in, you can text in at 590-590 with your name and your location. And honestly, if you want to just shoot me a message on Twitter. I guess that works too. Just reply to the tweet where I tweeted out the link to the show. But let's go to our first caller. We have Sean from Toronto. Wants to talk about who else? Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, for sure. How's it going, Will?
It's going great. How could you not feel good after that win?
Yeah, right. I don't know if you remember me. I called you in after the Philly game when Fred hit that big shot, and we were talking about how there are certain stands that can kind of get on other players if a certain player doesn't produce because other players and passing to him and whatnot. We were talking about toxic stands and whatnot. I'm not sure if you remember that. But anyways, I was talking about Fred mainly. And just the fact that, like, this team cannot survive the minutes with Fred off the floor. It's just a recurring theme where the minute this guy goes off the floor, our bench unit just cannot sustain it. Even tonight, he was on the floor. You're up by 10 points. He leaves the game in the third quarter, late third quarter. Next thing you know, we're up by two. He comes back in, and he goes on another run himself, all alone, and puts us up and gives us that little bit of separation that we needed for the rest of the game. Like, it's just, Fred produces both defensively, offensively. How can you not say this guy is the leader of the team, the most consistent player in the team? And, like, without Fred, where would this team be right now? Our bench doesn't produce. Pascal has been up and down lately. You know, Barnes is a rookie. This team, like, Fred is the glue. This team would be in complete disarray without Fred. And I just feel like he deserves his due way more than what he's getting right now. Because I see some slander online again about how, you know, Fred what? Just isn't that pass-first point guard that some fans want to see. He's trying to get his own ball. You know, they say pound the rock, whatever you want to say. I just feel like, you know, I feel like I'm going to let you continue on this path here and kind of maybe, you know, debate that. Because I don't feel like Fred gets enough credit, man. I feel like he gets slandered sometime online, Twitter, Reddit, wherever you want to look at it. It's like they're looking for a pure pass-first point guard who's going to get you, you know, 10 assists, 12 assists a game. But, like, you know, Fred's, you know, it's his first year as a point guard. Like, the guy has to get acclimated to that kind of role, you know. And I just feel like he doesn't get his dues, man.
Yeah, Sean, appreciate the call. I mean, look, I'm not saying Fred is a perfect player. It's not like, you know, he could he can do no wrong. Like, it's not like he's Steph Curry or something. But like, can we just please appreciate what we have? It's so clear that Fred is the best player in this team in terms of what he does for the team. His importance, as you mentioned, he can't even sit for more than 8 minutes a game. I don't even know how he walks the next day after playing all these minutes. I mean, you saw him tonight, him wrestling with Jrue Holiday and then still scoring on him. Do you know how hard it is to score 29 points on Jrue Holiday? You know, he played on the ball, he played off the ball, didn't dominate the ball, hit tough shots, hit tough free throws, key free throws, made defensive stops. What more do you want from this man? Stop complaining about Fred, please. He's like the least of the Raptors' problems. Stop making up stuff like, oh, he doesn't respect, he's always trying to like humble Scotty, or oh, him and Pascal are just jealous. Like, I see all this stuff online because, you know, I'm also a diehard fan, and like, this is what I'm about as well. But at the same time, y'all sound ridiculous. Like, you sound ridiculous. The Raptors literally would be winless this season without Fred. And if he ever gets hurt, knock on wood. But, like, you know, if he's not available for the Raptors, I have no idea what would happen. But, yeah, clearly he's great. And great performance tonight. Truly, truly great performance. Let's go to Jared from Vancouver.
Hey, Will.
Yo, what's good?
Hey, so obviously great win today. And there's been something that's really been puzzling me after the game, and I hope you can help me out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so earlier today, we heard Alex make that crazy Oracle of Delphi-level guarantee that the Raptors were going to beat the Bucks even before we knew that Giannis wasn't going to play. And we also know that Alex is he's a self-proclaimed degenerate gambler. So with both these two things, the puzzle is, how can Alex still be at like civilian levels of wealth when he's basically a prophet and he's a gambler? So do you have any advice here? How do I solve this?
I think what Alex has is he has a good sense of the vibes. And I think for him, he realized that if the Raptors are able to beat the Bucks, that will completely change the vibes in the city. That will completely change the vibe of the Raptors show on every Monday to Friday between 2 and 3 p.m. And he willed that into existence. Now, of course, I don't think anyone knew that Giannis was going to be out. I mean, I don't think Giannis knew he was going to be out because he came out and warmed up. But yeah, shout out to Alex, man. I think he was absolutely right on this. And hopefully, even though the Raptors won, I still want to hear those 16 bars from Alex. I don't know. It doesn't feel like we should be punished for the Raptors winning. So yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, this is a great performance for the Raptors. And we are going to continue to discuss it on the other side of this break. You've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, and we will continue to take more of your calls on the second half of this break as we recap the Raptors' 97-93 win over the Milwaukee referees. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu. Continue to recap the Toronto Raptors' 97-93 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, there was no Giannis, but there was still a lot of entertainment in this game, and I thought that it was a really nice team win. I think it's a game where a lot of guys can go home tonight and feel really proud of what their contributions were to the game. You know, I think you look at all the guys in the starting five. Every single guy had a block in the starting five. That's really interesting. I don't think I've seen that out of the Raptors before. Pascal with the block, Precious with two. Obviously, the second one was highlight worthy with his chase down on Jrue Holiday. Scotty with a block, Fred with a block, Gary with a block. That's rare. I really have to get our research team on that. And by that, I mean, hopefully Blake looks it up at some point and tweets it out, because I'm not really sure I'm going to do the research on that. But yeah, I mean, just a nice defensive performance. By the way, apparently, this is what Scotty said. This is according to Nick Nurse. But Nurse said, quote, Scotty stepped up and said, I'm going to guard him, and I'm going to guard him hard, end quote. And that's Scotty talking about Chris Middleton once the Raptors knew that Giannis was out. That is exactly what you would want to hear from your star rookie. Not being afraid, literally going up against champions. Chris Middleton, if you didn't watch the finals last year, this guy was dropping mid-range jumpers. Like Ray Allen, you know, all throughout the championship run. And Scottie just said, I'm going to guard him. And did Chris hit a couple of jumpers on him? Yeah, of course. You know, Chris, he has an incredible mid-range game. The touch on it is incredible. He's able to shoot over longer defenders. But am I going to live with 8 of 20 from the field with 22 points in a game where, let's be honest, he really should have been 8 of 20 for 20 points because he got gifted some phantom free throws at the end. Yeah, what a performance by Scottie Barnes. I love that mentality. And you know what? Scottie actually ended up hitting more threes than Chris Middleton did. Obviously, they're guarded totally differently. But like, Scottie has continued to confidently step into those threes. I think he nailed 2 of them in the first half and then 1 in the third quarter. And all of these are just guys are helping off of Scottie. The ball, you know, swings out of the double team, ends up in Scottie's hands, and Scottie's just shooting it. And I love that. I want him to keep doing that. But yeah, just a nice win. So we're continuing to take calls here on the show. So let's go to Richard from Montreal.
Hey, Will, how are you?
Feeling great. How are you?
Awesome, awesome, man. I'm going to have to take some meditation courses, man, after that game. But what I wanted to just quickly touch on was Precious's offensive rebounds and his consistent screening throughout the game. You know, I felt like the first, you know, 10, 12 games of the season, his screening wasn't that consistent, or he just touch and go. This one, I felt a couple times he helped even Pat Connaughton a couple times to let Fred go free. So if you want to touch base on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, thanks for the call. I mean, yeah, I think absolutely. I think with Precious, like, he actually does bring a lot to the table. That, you know, there's a more surface level frustration with him when he makes obvious mistakes. Like, for example, he's at the basket, he misses a layup, or like he's pushing in transition and he loses the handle. Like, these are things that, or he misses the 2 free throws in the end. Like, these are things that people are easily able to identify, so they're able to really criticize him on. But he actually does some of the smaller stuff like really well. Like, I think on the whole this season, he's defended really well. Obviously, he's a young player, so he still is up and down. But on the whole, I think his defensive presence has been really strong. The Raptors defense has been strong, especially when he's in the starting lineup. He was good tonight, you know, challenged a number of shots. And then even just small things like the offensive rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds for him just by himself. You know, him battling some experienced players. The Bucks, even without Giannis, even without Brook Lopez, are still a big team. And he was able to, you know, mix it up there. And as you mentioned, the screening is very important. I think, you know, for guys like the Raptors, you know, how do you get Fred free? Well, Fred's not going to shake his man one-on-one all the time. In fact, you don't want him to. You want him to attack off screens, whether that's on the ball or off the ball. And I think on both accounts, you know, the better that Precious is able to screen, the more space he's able to create for Fred, the better the Raptors offense is going to work. Because look, the defense is not always going to be pressed up on Precious. In fact, rarely are they going to be pressed up on Precious. So if the Bucks are going to drop their big back in the 2-man pick and roll defense, they're not going to commit a third defender. So it's really just 2-on-2. And the big is back. If Precious is able to set a good screen and take out the defender on Fred, then all of a sudden you really have either an open shot or at least a 2-on-1 situation. So I think, you know, I have to go through and look at the tape because, you know, it's hard to notice small things like screening over the course of the game when you watch it live. But yeah, I thought Precious did the little things really well tonight. And I wish for him that he made some of those free throws, but luckily Scottie Barnes was there with the tip out. So thanks for the call, Richard. Let's go to Drew in Guelph.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to apologize first for, like, blowing up your Twitter feeds during every game, though.
it's all good, though.
But what an exciting game down to the end. So my question actually isn't about this game exactly, but about tight situations like this. Who out of the whole Raptors team would you want taking, like, a game-winning shot? Like, who do you think is most clutch?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. Thanks for the call, Drew. To me, I'm not trying to get away from this question. I will answer it. I think it breaks down to 2 scenarios. Like, a lot of the time, when you're talking about game-winning shots, there is someone who creates and then someone who takes the shot. Now, sometimes that's the same person. Like, if you're talking about, like, you give the ball last second to KD or Kobe or LeBron or something like that, like, yeah, those guys will take and they'll create and they'll take the shot for themselves. I don't think the Raptors fully have that one guy on their team So I think for me, I like seeing what OG has done with his game this year. I think he's improved his jump shooting, his mid-range shooting, his shot making. Obviously, we got to see what he comes back from injury, but I really like seeing OG handling a little bit because he's also shown a little bit of that passing ability, but he's able to create the separation and shoot over the top of defenses. Obviously, I think Fred is a great option in terms of if it's not OG, then I want the ball in the hands of Fred. The issue with Fred is that he's not able to create one-on-one all the time. So he's going to need a screen. And when you need to bring a screen into the play, you're introducing the chance where they're going to trap the ball and force the ball out of Fred's hands. Now, of course, if you successfully get the ball out of that double team and the rest of the Raptors are executing well behind him, then you can maybe say a 4-on-3 is a really great situation to have at the end of the game. But sometimes when the shot clock's really tight or if the game's really tight and there's a lot of nerves in the game, guys are tired, like they might not go quickly. Or if you want to take the last shot, let's say the game's tied and you want to like leave no time left on the clock, you don't want to go quickly because you're saving the opportunity for a second possession. So that's the only issue with Fred, because if you use the screen, I think over the course of the game, there's different ways the teams guard the screen. But towards the end of the game, I guarantee you, if you get Fred a screen in some clutch situations, either teams are going to switch, in which case there's not the greatest advantage, or that, if they run the screen, that they're probably going to second defender. So you're probably also thinking about which player, worst case scenario, can still get a decent shot off. And so for me, that kind of still is OG. To be honest, like I think Pascal would be another option. I think obviously over the course of the game, you see a lot more like ISO Pascal, or at least Pascal initiating. Just in the fourth quarters, though, let's be honest, he's been a little bit unlucky, right? And so I just wonder what his confidence is in some of these scenarios. Like even today, for example, there was a couple of plays at the basket today that he missed. He went early in the fourth quarter there. Initially, he got free throws, but then it was overturned and he got fouled out. Like, I'm just not fully confident in that, quite honestly, just based on what we've seen in recent history. Maybe that's just like a bias because humans are only able to interpret like small individual kind of events, and we overreact to those rather than looking at the whole scope of, you know, the play. And I'm sure the overall stats for Pascal are actually way better than what we have in our minds. But yeah, I'm not totally confident there. And honestly, if the ball had to go to Gary, if he had to attack one-on-one, especially in a tied game, and you just needed a guy to get a shot off, and Gary had a mismatch on him, I wouldn't mind giving it to Gary and letting him do it. And of course, the other key thing is whoever you give it to, you need to know that they can make free throws. So OG obviously is a guy to make free throws. Fred can make free throws. Gary can make free throws. To be honest, one of the low-key clutch plays tonight was the Raptors got the ball to Scotty Barnes with like 2 minutes left, and he had the ISO mismatch against Pat Connaughton in the post, and he patiently got to his spot and flipped up a little short turnaround jumper. He had another play in the first half where he had Chris Middleton on him, slowed it down, got to a spot at the elbow, backed him down, turn around, short jumper, and he made that as well. I mean, obviously, that's something that's more down the line, but, you know, Scotty also is another guy who has the length to shoot over the top of a defender, and of course, we know he's a good passer as well. So there's not one clear-cut option, though, I guess is the answer. Let's go to Keyshawn in Pickering.
Hey, Will. I've been a big fan of you since the Raptors Republic days, along with you and Blake Murphy, and I kind of followed you on the Yahoo and now on Sportsnet. I just want to say thank you for all your perspective and representing the Raptors fan base emotions based on the team.
Thank you. There was definitely a lot of emotions when I was talking about the referees for that stretch there, because how could you not?
Anyway. So I found it interesting that Giannis... the Milwaukee Bucks or Giannis decided to take a rest day today. A couple of years ago, you would think against the Raptors, they would not do that. I mean, this is a team they would want to compete against. Do you think the respect or the viewpoint on the Raptors have changed based on the last couple of years? How do you think the league and organizations view the Raptors now? Are we that team now where you can rest your star players and you still have a chance to win?
I mean, thanks for the call. I mean, maybe, I think if we're completely honest, obviously, like, teams are seeing the Raptors in a slide here, and, obviously, it's going to make them feel more confident in resting them. Us, for example, I'm not even sure why they rested Giannis. I mean, I get that it's a second half of back-to-back, but they played on Sunday, they beat the Pacers, then they had two off nights, they played Wednesday, in Milwaukee to Toronto is like an hour flight, just across the lakes. And, you know, he was available and warmed up. And then he was ruled out, which is strange. If you're just going to rest the guy, you wouldn't even let him warm up. And then it's not like they play tomorrow either, obviously. It's not like they're playing a triple back-to-back. And then they're playing back in Milwaukee. They're playing Miami on Saturday, which is in 2 days. So I'm not really sure why they decided to rest Giannis. I looked up the game logs. He played 37 minutes and 41 seconds to beat Charlotte the other night. I mean, Fred plays that every day. So I'm not really sure why the Bucks decided to rest Giannis. And quite honestly, if teams want to rest their stars against the Raptors, please go ahead. The Raptors could use some help right now on that front. I'm not mad at that at all. To be honest, I mean, you know, for Milwaukee in terms of like, you know, obviously in previous years, yes, they would want to beat the Raptors because the Raptors kept beating them in the playoffs. But at the same time, Milwaukee just won the championship. They don't care about anything other than going back and repeating. So they're not sweating some game in December the way the Raptors are sweating it right now. Let's go to our next caller, Andrew in Scarborough. Andrew, you there? All right, we'll go back to Andrew. Let's go to Liam.
Hey, Will, how's it going?
Feeling good, Liam. How you doing?
Pardon me?
I'm feeling good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So I was at the game tonight, and I just wanted to say you were 100% accurate with your call on the refs kind of being on Milwaukee's side tonight. It was a great game, though. Great atmosphere down at the Scotiabank Center. You love to see it, but there really were more people with designer bags walking around confused than you'd see at Yorkdale on an average day. But I just wanted to get your take. What I was listening to you saying earlier, with people talking about Fred VanVleet and Pascal, talking about how, you know, they're not exactly playing great, this, that, and the third. These people, I feel like they don't really understand what it takes for a basketball team to win. They don't understand you need these superstar guys to miss like 5, 6, 7 shots a game to win, because who else is going to take those shots, miss, and, you know, be able to take the ball up the floor and shoot again and have that confidence to continue? So I just wanted to get your take on that, on why these guys get all this criticism.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Liam. And good to hear that the arena was rocking. Honestly, that was a great game. Obviously, you know, it's always exciting when you play the Bucks, let's be honest. So why do Fred and Pascal get the criticism? I mean, first off, it's just a function of they're the main guys. So no matter if the Raptors do well, they're going to be knocked. And if they lose, they're going to be criticized. And if they win, hopefully they get praised. Now, that's the thing where I feel like people have lock themselves into the camps, especially in the case of Pascal. It's very clear camps of like, I'm just going to get on Pascal every single game. Whether he does well or not, I'm going to pick out all the mistakes and I'm only going to see him in that lens. And you must trade him because he's a max contract or whatever. And then there's the other camp that's like ardently defending Pascal, almost honestly, as fervently as people try to criticize him. They're very resistant to all the criticisms, are pointing out the positives, relentlessly positive. To be honest, reminds me a little bit of politics. Fred, I think more people have a better sense of what Fred is at right now, but there's also a lingering crew of people that really just don't like Fred for some reason. I don't know if it's because they feel like Fred doing well somehow intrudes on Kyle's legacy. I don't know if it's because Fred does well, but they want a taller point guard. I love, my favorite thing is when people insist that he's actually an undersized shooting guard. What does that mean? Like, how is that analysis? Like, yes, is he effective off the ball? Yes, he is. Is he most effective off the ball? You can even argue that. But it's not like he doesn't run the point, or is very, very capable of running the point. I don't know what is the point of this is to slander Fred. I mean, people are just going to knock the main guys. And the Raptors haven't done well this season, so some of these guys are getting criticism. And look, I think there's a difference between, like, pointing out specific things on their games, or even shortcomings on their games. Of course, there's a space to have a conversation on guys, right? There's a space to have a conversation on the fact that Pascal, defensively since coming back, has not been up to speed, although tonight I thought he was a lot better. This is one of his best defensive performances since coming back. You know, I think there's a space to add about, okay, well, sometimes Fred, you know, can slow the pace down, or he might take a few extra dribbles, and you know, you might prefer if he played a little faster. These are things that are basketball conversations, but then they kind of extend beyond that, and they're like, okay, Pascal's selfish or Fred's selfish, all this other kind of stuff. Like, what is the point? You don't know these guys. I don't even know these guys. I've talked to these guys many times. I still don't know these guys. Don't ascribe some of these things to them, right? I mean, let's just talk about their basketball. And I think objectively speaking, Pascal and Fred were really good in terms of what they needed to do tonight as number one and two guys on the team. So, you know, just don't be too stuck in your camp, I guess what I'm trying to say. Like, try to hear the other side. Last caller, let's go to Justin.
Hey, Will, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in.
No worries. I just came back from the game, season ticket holder. Went to the game on Sunday, went to the game on Tuesday, and the crowd was completely out of it. I don't know if it's because they're playing horribly. I don't know if it's because they got that dim lighting now in Scotiabank Arena in the 300 levels, making people go to sleep. There was no pizza chance today. The crowd was involved. Good. It was a good game. Fred was, you know, encouraging the crowd to go. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how you felt the crowd was tonight. And, again, thanks for taking my call, and I hope you get that ramen session with Utah soon, brother.
I appreciate you, Justin. Yeah, well, unfortunately, I was not actually at the arena tonight, and it's a little bit complex to go into the reasons why, and maybe even perhaps sensitive, so I'm not going to specifically. But anyway, yeah, I've been at some of the games. Obviously, the Raptors haven't been doing well at home, right? So that's going to hurt their record. But at the same time, I do like to believe the fact that, look, sometimes when you're playing at home, you expect your crowd to pick up the players once in a while too. It shouldn't be a crowd where it only reacts when things are doing well, right? Or only reacts to the incentive of a free pizza or something. Like, yes, the crowd atmosphere needs to be stronger. And I think obviously the Raptors not playing well has not given them that much to be excited about. But at the same time, there's games, like I've already described in the show, there's games where the loudest people in that building are me and Nick Nurse. And I'm up in the 600s. So I'm not sure if people in the 300 level can hear me. Definitely not very quiet in the press box. But yeah, there's games where Nick's upset and he slaps his leg because he's frustrated at a call. And I could hear from like the 600 level, right? So yeah, the atmosphere needs to pick up. Obviously, the Raptors playing better will do it well. To be honest, watching it from the TV tonight, it seemed like the crowd was all right. So look, we know what a good Scotiabank crowd looks like. It's elite, right? So before we go and before we hand out the three stars, I wanted to get to a couple of text messages that we received. This one from Raf in Toronto. I can't help but notice that we pull out a win when the other team doesn't have a legit center presence either. It's a bittersweet victory, but I'm very happy with what we've seen and what this team could be another five down the road. I wouldn't say it's a bittersweet victory, to be honest. Like, unless someone got hurt, which, you know, nobody did, thankfully, in this game. Like, it's every victory is sweet for me. Yeah, I mean, if the other team doesn't have a center, I think obviously some of the guys can get downhill. To be honest, I thought the Bucks did a really good job, though, of protecting the paint. That's the primary thing the Bucks do really well, is they really get back in transition, they really protect the paint. Now, where you can hurt them is from the three-point line. The Raptors hit 14 threes on them tonight, 11 in the first half. Second half, they weren't hitting the threes outside of Fred. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I think obviously having a legitimate center can really hurt them, right? We've seen even Steven Adams, for the other example, the other night, he was wrestling and just knocking guys around like bumper cars. You know, I think obviously if Giannis was in this game, I would have been very curious to see how that would have gone. Even Brook Lopez has a low post game as well. But, you know, at the same time, the Raptors do like to think at least that with their small ball centers, they can sort of beat them down the floor. They can space them out a little bit. They can keep them in space. I'm not really sure if that's happened that much this season, quite honestly. It's more theoretical than it is practical. But yeah, I think obviously not having a center to really hurt the Raptors down low, I think really helped. Although, to be honest, Bobby Portis did get 10 free throws, which I'm really baffled by. But anytime you got to get Bobby Portis 10 free throws, you got to do it, including 5 free throws in the same play. Just love seeing that from the referees tonight. And then last one, Jay Rich from Guelph writes in, what did the team do well that is repeatable moving forward? Not too high, not too low. I think what they did really well tonight was execute their defense. I didn't think they overhelped too much. Obviously, the Bucks, you know, missed a couple of key players tonight in Giannis and Brooks. So you know, there were less threats. But I think the Raptors did a really good job of collapsing the middle, you know, showing multiple bodies on drives without giving up wide open threes all the time. The Bucks, yes, you know, they did have some threes that they were making, but for the most part, the bulk of what the Bucks were doing in terms of their damage on the three-point line was step-back jumpers from Jrue Holiday. And Jrue Holiday is not really a good step-back jumper, jump shooter. I mean, he's more streaky that way, but, you know, he was responsible for four of the Bucks' 11 three-pointers made. And if you can hold Milwaukee to 11 threes made, that is a fantastic performance. But the Raptors did a really good job of flying around, you know, and I think that's the thing. The Raptors need to continue locking in defensively. I thought the defense was strong against Memphis. They just lost because their offense was so bad. But the defense has been trending in the right direction. Granted, they were so low in the rankings that the only direction was to improve. But they are showing improvements. And if they can continue to bring this intensity defensively, especially as a group, I think it really works. So that does it for the calls and the text. Thank you for everyone who participated in the show. Three stars tonight. I'm going to give the first star, obviously, to Fred VanVleet. 29 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, 9 of 17 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Did damage on the ball, off the ball. Huge clutch moments. You know, it was a play where the Raptors were like down 2 and Fred drove in and got 2 free throws. You know, made both. Just awesome, awesome player. Second star, we give that to Pascal. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought he was really patient in terms of the way he approached it. Operating in the middle of the floor was pretty efficient. Didn't have the jumper working that much, but was able to pick his mismatch as well. The only issue is that, some of the decision-making in the fourth quarter was still just a little bit off, and he missed one or two, you know, close shots late. But, you know, ultimately, those are nice performance from Pascal. And then third time, we got to Scotty Barnes. 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block. But most importantly, he had 2 offensive rebounds, and the second one on the tip-out secured the game for the Raptors. Nailed 3 threes, was 5 of 9 from the field. You know, just and just showing the confidence to go say, I want to go guard Chris Middleton. You know, that's good stuff. I really respect that. In terms of Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to... you know what? Let's go to Sandro Mamushkevili. I'm sorry. That is a very difficult name to say. But yeah, he was on the offensive glass, 6 offensive rebounds, 8 points, 10 rebounds overall. Just a pretty smart player. Obviously, Jrue Holiday was getting the bulk of the attention, driving downhill. There were spaces, there were gaps, and the Bucks did a really good job of attacking those gaps for offensive rebounds. And Mamu had 6 offensive rebounds. That's pretty impressive. So he's going to get the Gerald Henderson Award winner. And lastly, before I go, I want to just quickly touch on Gary Trent Jr. Obviously, he was able to play tonight. He's been, you know, bothered with the calf issue. I saw him, you know, shooting shots at practice, and he looked pretty good. Obviously, tonight, you know, he was just misfiring. Obviously, we know what a good Gary game looks like. He just had a lot of good looks, and he just didn't knock those down. I like the process of the looks that he took. Maybe only 1 or 2 shots where you're like, whoa, no, don't take that shot. But made a couple of nice swing passes as well, especially in the first quarter, just leading, you know, Scotty hit a 3 off of it. Pascal, I think, hit a 3 off of it. So this was one of the best performances from Gary, but I think Gary being available really at least helps you not play so much of Svi because, you know, at least with Gary, he'll give you the defense. Now, granted, Svi was decent defensively tonight. I thought he was active. He was hustling. He got out in transition, but Svi's just been in a funk. So now that you have Gary back, you don't have to rely so much on Svi making all of the shots and being good defensively. So, yeah, that does it for the Reaction Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Once again, you can catch all episodes of the Raptors Reaction Podcast and all episodes of the show with me and Alex on the Raptors Show with Will Liu, wherever you find podcasts. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. We are, you know, doing really well in the charts, and we want to stay that way. And that's only going to come down to what you listeners do in terms of your reviews and your ratings and the way you're sharing and listening to the podcast. By the way, I've seen a lot of people post their Spotify rap playlists, and a lot of them have been this show, which is just awesome to know. And it's great to see that, and it's really heartwarming. So continue to send those in. And the Raptors, the vibes are good. They beat the Bucks, and hopefully Alex gives us those 16 bars tomorrow at 2 p.m. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and I will check back in after the next game.